Good morning and welcome to Filtered, our daily digital diary. This is the fourth episode of the week. We're here every single morning. We go live everywhere you get your podcasts at 7 a.m. Today, we are talking about receiving and giving criticism. And Jamie, you corrected me this morning. The word criticism in itself has such negative connotations that if we could all refer to it as feedback, if we could all reframe it as feedback, we'd probably have a much more productive workplace and even home environment if we could accept feedback without all the negative connotations that come with someone is criticizing the way I've been doing things.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I've come from an environment where it's honest, if not sometimes brutal, such as sport, and the fact that there's very little HR policy around what you can and can't say in those sessions. But it's the thing about feedback is that it's got to be unemotional. It's got to be on point in terms of what we all agreed to. The goals and what we're trying to achieve and the way we're going to do it in terms of the values and the why of the company or your organization or whatever it is. But I think people sometimes take it too personally, and I think they have to, there's two sides to that. I mean, it's the person receiving the feedback, you know, don't immediately step into that defensive mindset and think you're on the attack or think that you're being attacked, and that will very quickly close you down. And the same in terms of the person giving the feedback, how you position it. And, you know, there's always the sandwich approach, you know, give something good, put it, you know, if it's bad feedback or looking for something to improve on, put it in the middle and then kind of finish good as well. But there's roles to play on both sides of that. I think sometimes people take it a little bit too personally, if I'm honest, nowadays.
Interestingly, there's always a sports analogy for everything in the workplace, I think. And as you're talking there, it occurred to me that I don't know if rugby is the same as secondary school basketball, which is my sports experience. But the other team's job is to give you really personal insults, to freak you out, to kind of trash talk you to where you start questioning yourself. Is that nearly true, or maybe that doesn't happen in rugby as well?
No, like, I mean, yeah, like people call it sledging, they call it whatever.
So your job is to armor yourself against that. So you're probably a pro at filtering what's worth taking on and what is to be ignored when it comes to feedback and criticism in
well,
that way.
You know, there's a lot of people who have opinions. You get quite used to that. We were talking, you were reminding me of how old I was and how it seems like I've been around forever, and which was nice. But I was, to my point, is like, I've been playing, you know, I was in the public eye from about 2021. And you learn very, very quickly that, you know, you're not as good as they say you are, and you're not as bad as they say you are. And to be honest, they're going to have their opinion regardless. You know, take it when it comes to, you know, if you are going out there and you're ambitious and you're saying you're ambitious and you're going after all these things, people will give out. If you're sitting on the couch all day, people will give out and have an opinion on that. So it's really kind of figuring out whose opinion matters or whose feedback that actually matters or has an influence on, you know, the direction that you're going or trying to go.
And your self-worth. And I read a quote recently that was, don't accept criticism from anyone you wouldn't ask advice from. And think that's a really strong idea. It does come down to being able to depersonalize. Like, my overriding childhood memory from school was being in first infants. And all of these formative experiences do impact how you accept criticism today. I had gotten a copybook back and she had written careless on it in red. And I was catatonic. I couldn't believe that she had said this. Couldn't breathe, couldn't speak. They had to call my dad to come in and collect me because I couldn't even tell anyone why I was upset. That's how much I couldn't speak. And I had completely, like, identified with the copybook. Like, the work is me. I am the work. I am careless. But you have to be able to say, okay, this feedback or this perceived criticism is just this person giving me information, and it's data that I can now use to improve my work, my performance. It's not who I am. It's pure information. And whether that's information on the type of person that the critiquer is. So if it's unfair criticism, take that as information about that person. Okay, that person doesn't like X, Y, Z. Use it as data, use it to inform how you work, take the feedback on board. And if we could all do that without taking it so personally, we would be invincible. And I think it's getting to a point now in modern management where we are, as we discussed yesterday, coming to understand different personality types, how to pitch the feedback to a certain personality.
Yeah, but I'd caveat it going like, I mean, you can't go through the world thinking everything's roses. You just can't. Yes. And I think you're setting yourself up for failure. So, I mean, I'd be very vocal on like, you know, underage competition. I think there should be winners and losers because there is winners and losers in life. I'm not too...
I totally agree on that.
People getting participation awards for and no one getting, you know, the winner's medal or something like that. I'm not too sure how that sits with me, if I'm honest, because, you know, life isn't easy. Life isn't fair. You don't always, even if you're meant to win, you don't always win. And I think you have to, like anything, you have to get exposure to these stresses to in doses now, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, we're not talking about extreme kind of experiences here, but I think you do have to get doses to those things that kind of challenge and shock maybe your thinking, your belief system, and will challenge and question it, which you always need to be. Because just what I'm trying to say is don't go on the defensive straight away, because the minute you go on the defensive, you feel like you're getting attacked and you won't see anything. You won't see any opportunity. You won't see any sort of positive growth opportunity from this information that's coming to you. You know, a good thing some coaches used to do with us is if it was particularly harsh or they're going to spend a lot of time around maybe something that you were involved in that wasn't good, they'd give you a heads up on it and they'd be like, look, this is what I'm going to talk about and these are the reasons and this is what I'd like you to do and da 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 da. And so it wasn't new. You didn't go on the defensive straight away. You get accustomed to it.
Yeah. I think it's so true to make sure you're not missing the opportunity in the criticism, the opportunity that's hidden in there to improve. And what's funny is most people, when you sit them down from a manager's point of view, know their own weaknesses very well. And in fact, know their own weaknesses all too well. And that's why it's a particular pain point when someone else brings them up. So if you sit down with someone and say, what do you think your weaknesses are? Having made the expectation very clear, as you're saying, that takes the emotion out of it. This is what's expected. You've either, you know, achieved this or you haven't. It's nothing to do with who you are. It's the expectation. What do you think your weaknesses are in this role? Very often they're able to tell you or come close to identifying the truth. And when you're receiving feedback, the pieces of feedback that hurt the most are the ones that probably are pointing to what you know about yourself already, or something that you would really like to change and that you're a little bit raging that someone else has identified.
How brave it is to like, I would be very much a strengths-based type of coach. So we would focus a lot on your strengths and how you leverage those strengths going forward to really be at your best as such. And then realizing actually what you're not, you know, in terms of what your weaknesses are. And just to be cognizant of it. But we can't just go around with our head in the sand. You know what I mean? No. And I think that's something to be very, a lot of people do. You know what I mean?
You think I was soft to get upset about being called careless? Is that what the underlying message is here?
No, because again, but like there's more behind that. It's like, you know, maybe because you put so much thought into the work and you're so proud of the work and you needed more understanding of what that actually meant. Because what teacher meant by it is not necessarily what you interpret it as. Do you know what I mean? So there could have been a disconnect there. I think it's very important to own your mistakes. And I think it's but it's to correct them. So like if you keep doing the same mistake over and over again, it's kind of like doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. The definition of madness. So like just, you know, being self-aware of that for yourself, but also if you're managing people, understanding that dynamic as well.
Yeah, I think really the key takeaway here is making sure that you're able to balance accepting feedback productively and implementing changes. Balance that with a very healthy dose of pinch of salt for criticism that isn't going to help me, or that is only going to cause, you know, negative thoughts and for me to build up complexes when everyone's opinion can't matter. You have to be selective about whose opinion matters and whose criticism you accept. And then once you've made that decision, make sure that you're not taking it too personally and that you're able to use it.
And in a team dynamic, I mean, it's something that we used to do in sport and they probably still do, is that you actually hold it accountable to the values that the group has established. So therefore, you're not actually criticizing the person as such. You're kind of going like, well, actually, as a group, this is what we agreed. This is how we agreed we're going to, the way we're going to go about it, the process of how we're going to go about this, because we know why. And it's holding yourself accountable to that, as opposed to getting really personal, kind of, you know, using language like, you know, you did this, you did that. It's like, actually, you know, we didn't hold ourselves accountable to these are the values, you know, is it, you know, are we being humble here? Are we being disciplined? Are we being relentless, or whatever the values are? I think that's a very good way of providing feedback. And sorry, just the last thing I would say is that every so often it is good to go outside the circle of, let's say, immediate people that influence your career or decisions that you make, to get feedback, because it's always good to have an outside perspective or a fresh set of eyes on you as a person or your career or where you're going. So that's where outside mentors and advisors are always really good to. I would have done it at the end of every year of rugby. I would have asked three people who weren't involved in Leinster or Ireland. They could have played at me in the past and moved on, or coached me in the past and moved on, but they weren't currently in that environment, for advice in terms of three things I can improve on. And that was kind of the feedback I used to get.
Yeah, so actively seeking feedback is important as well, not just waiting for it and then reacting. Brilliant. I could talk about feedback all day. It's actually a really interesting topic when it comes to self-development. I mean, it's a huge facet. But that's us for today. So we'll see you again tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. And it'll be Friday. So happy Friday for tomorrow.
Take care.